listening to Forecast, the marketing podcast for professional services leaders. If you're looking to generate more leads, win more deals, and take your firm to the next level, this show is your shortcut.
Hey there, and welcome back to the show. This is part two of our series on the professional services business model. In the last lesson, we talked about why business model design is so important, and we looked at the three trends that are reshaping the professional services industry as a whole. And today, we're going to explore the four foundational questions that will help you build a better business model for your firm. But before we get into it, if you haven't yet joined our free course on the 5 P's of lead generation for professional services firms, you're going to want to check that out over at 5leadgen.com. You can spell out 5 or use the number, either one works. It's 5leadgen.com. Now, I will be the first to admit that I steal from Seth Godin regularly and unapologetically. And I'll usually tell you when I do, and this is one of those times. Seth Godin wrote a simple blog post way back in 2009 about business models, and specifically how the internet is flipping traditional business models on their heads. And he presented 4 questions that capture the essence of a business model. Now, if you have a good answer to these 4 questions, then you have a pretty solid business model that should generate sustainable profit and return over time. But if you don't have a good answer to any of these questions, then your entire business might be at risk. So let's go through each of the 4 questions, and I will help you apply them to a professional services context. The first question is, what compelling reason exists for people to give you money? Now, it's not an accident that this is the first question, because if there's no good reason for people to give you money, then they won't, and you won't have a business. Now, if you're an existing operation, then you don't need to make this up from scratch. You simply need to look at your existing clients and identify why they hired you. What value were they expecting from you? What problem were you solving, and what need were you addressing? Now, if there are a few different answers to this, then you should be looking for the one big reason for each client. And this is where client segmentation is really important, because if you look at your clients as a whole and try to come up with one compelling reason for all of them, then you're going to struggle to identify that reason. Different clients have different problems, different needs, and different priorities. So you need to segment your clients into different buckets and then identify the value proposition that each of them was looking for. Now, the key word in this question is compelling. To build a strong business model, you need to give buyers a compelling reason to pay you. Anything short of compelling is simply not strong enough. The second question is, how do you acquire what you're selling for less than it costs to sell it? So somebody wrote you a nice big check. Now what? Well, now you have to deliver the service that the client is paying for. And this is where things get really dicey and complicated for professional services firms. Because if you were selling, let's say, some kind of a product or widget, then this is a much simpler conversation. You simply calculate the cost of goods sold, the manufacturing cost, the distribution cost, whatever it may be, and you come up with a number. Let's say the widget costs $50 to manufacture and to produce and to distribute. Then you know that you need to sell that widget for more than $50. If you sell it for $100, you have a $50 profit margin. If you sell it for $70, you have a $20 profit margin, and so on. But it's not nearly as simple as that for a professional services firm. Because ultimately, you're selling your time. Even if you're billing at a flat rate or by project or you use value-based pricing, it doesn't really matter. You're still selling your time. So the less time that you spend on a project, the more money you stand to make. The only exception to that is when you're strictly billing by the hour, as many lawyers do. In that case, you're then incentivized to remain on the clock as long as possible. So let's look at a few different models of lowering your cost so that you can increase the amount of profit that you earn on every deal. The first is in the case that you are in an hourly billing arrangement. If you're billing the client by hour, and you only bill what you work. In that case, your profit margin needs to be built right into your rate. So if your cost is, let's say, $150 an hour, then you should be charging your clients more than that on an hourly basis to remain profitable. And you also need a buffer built into that rate to account for the time that you're not billing. If you're in a fixed fee billing environment, in which case you bill the client a flat rate for a specific deliverable or outcome, and then they pay a fixed fee regardless of how much time it takes you to complete the work, then these arrangements can be very profitable because you can charge for the value that you provide, the value that your work represents to the client, regardless of how much time it takes you, and then you can find ways to creatively provide that value in an efficient and cost-effective way. The third strategy you can look at is outsourcing. And when I say outsourcing, I'm including outsourcing to junior staff within your firm or to outside contractors, because ultimately it's the same model. You are outsourcing or shipping off the work to cheaper staff who can perform the same tasks at a lower rate. So you're charging the client your higher rate, but you're outsourcing the work to cheaper staff who can do at least some of the work that you do, but at a lower rate. And the fourth model that I'll mention here is partnerships. This is where you bring in external partners to contribute to a project or to a deliverable. And this can be really effective when the work requires a specialist who could complete a specific task or deliverable more efficiently than you or your team could. So those are just a few ideas to work with, but the bottom line here is that you need a model to deliver the work for less than what you're charging. And chances are, if you take a good hard look at your current cost structure, then you will be able to identify opportunities to reduce cost and to deliver your services more efficiently. The third question that Seth Godin raises is, what structural insulation do you have from relentless commoditization and a price war? Now, in the last lesson, we talked about how tax software disrupted the tax preparation industry many years ago, where all of a sudden, instead of paying an accountant $150 for a tax return, you could now buy the software for $40 and do your return and your entire family's returns. Now, what did that do to the tax prep industry? Well, it commoditized the service and started a price war. So now tax preparation businesses had to lower their prices to make their service a more viable option as compared to the software. And even before the software, tax prep firms were largely indistinguishable. They all looked and sounded the same and offered the same service. So they were always competing with each other on price. And the point here is that you do not want to be in that situation. You do not want to offer a commodity service that's easily replicable, because if you do, somebody else will come along and do it for cheaper than you can. And if there's no good reason to hire you, then most people will opt for the cheaper option. So my advice here is to never build your firm around commodity services. You can offer them, there's nothing wrong with that, but they shouldn't be the bread and butter of your firm. Your flagship services should be higher value, premium services and solutions, which may include some of the commodity stuff, but that's only part of the package. For example, one of my clients is a specialized accounting firm that works with healthcare professionals, so doctors and dentists primarily. Now, they actually do a lot of the commodity work. They do the incorporations, they do the personal tax returns, they do the bookkeeping, and so on. But that's only part of the package. Their value proposition is that they are the one-stop shop for all the accounting and tax needs of a healthcare professional. So they do the commodity work, but they do much more than that. It's only a small part of the package. Now, their clients know that they can get the commodity work done cheaper elsewhere. They can get a cheaper incorporation package, they can get cheaper bookkeeping, and my client is very forthright about this. But clients still come to them because they want the value created by the entire packages of services, including the commodity stuff, but more importantly, the higher value services that are part of that package. The fourth and final question here is, how will strangers find out about the business and decide to become customers? Now, this last question is all about marketing, and you can go back to our discussion on the marketing funnel and the buyer's journey for a deeper dive into this. But the bottom line here is that for a business model to be viable, you need at least a few channels that bring in new business, that help prospective clients discover the business and then decide to become customers. One channel is not enough. And anyone that's relied solely on Google traffic, as an example, can tell you that one channel isn't enough, because then you're at the whims of Google or whatever that channel might be. So if Google decides to change the search algorithm, which they do quite often, and that, you know, somehow compromises your rankings, all of a sudden, business dries up overnight. So you want to build a few different channels that build on one another so that you have a diversified stream of new business coming in at the top of your funnel. So that's a wrap on this lesson, which was part two of our discussion on business models for professional services firms. In part three of the series, I will introduce you to a simple framework that will help you take all of this and put your business model on paper in 20 minutes or less. So stay tuned for that. If you haven't yet joined us inside our free course, as I mentioned, on the 5 P's of lead generation for professional services firms, you can join us for free at 5leadgen.com. And you can spell out 5 or use the number, either one works. That's 5leadgen.com. Also, if you haven't yet subscribed to the show on iTunes, head over to iTunes, search for Forecast Marketing, find the show in the podcast listing, click on the show, hit subscribe, and while you're at it, leave us a rating and a review, and I would be forever grateful. Thank you so much for listening, and tune in next time.